Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, March 21st, 2013. Well, tonight's guest is more frequently seen and heard as part of a local roots group, the Great Wooden Trio. Recently, though, Kev Morris has been branching out into solo work both within a church context, but also in coffee houses and folk festivals. We'll get a chance to talk to Kev about his music in a few moments. But before we get to the interview, let's listen to Smile, one of Kev's solo offerings from a YouTube recording made in his own living room. Good evening, Kev.
How are you?
Not bad. Let's start by giving our listeners a little bit of background about you. When did you get interested in music?
Well, I've always had an interest in music as a listener, but I was a bit of a late bloomer as a guitar player. I probably picked up my first guitar really when I was about 18, so that would have been back in the early 80s. Somewhere thereabouts.
What sort of led to that? What was getting to the point where you decided to pick up and start playing rather than just listening?
Well, I had a few friends as a teenager who started to form small bands and things like that in around my youth group at church, and it just so happened actually that my first guitar. I borrowed it from a buddy of mine whose older brother was away in England, and the guitar belonged to him. So he was gone for a year, so I just said, "Hey, can I borrow that for a while?" And I never gave it back. So at that point, when I first started noodling on the guitar, I was like, "Oh, there's actually something here that I didn't think I possessed." So and it kind of developed from then.
So when you were starting to play, what was some of the stuff you were starting to play? What style of music were you getting into?
At the time, actually, I hit a phase at the post-disco era of the early 80s when I was, for about 2 years, actually, I was heavily into funk, in fact, sort of underground bands like Parliament and... Mm-hmm. Funkadelic and
George Clinton.
But, yeah, George Clinton type stuff. Yeah, it was just weird. It was just the timing. I had a few friends who were into that, and so I was listening to that. I mean, before that, as a kid growing up, my brother actually worked in the record industry, and so I had a vast array of music that I had listened to up to that point before I started playing. So I was listening to the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Pink Floyd, you know, everything under the sun. But then after, once I started playing, some of my early influences as a guitar player were the Police and Rush and bands like that, sort of after I got out of that little funk stage that I was into.
Well, as you were growing as a musician, both in terms of listening and playing in that, were there any musicians or groups that were really sort of starting to influence you in your own particular style?
Yeah, I would say in the mainstream sort of rock, you know, genre, that definitely Rush was a big influence, and the Police as well. The Police was sort of, they were sort of the band that for some reason at that point I wasn't really into the heavy crunchy guitar thing, and it was the early 80s, so there were a lot of bands on the radio that weren't really doing that sort of thing, like the heavy rock sound.
Mm-hmm.
So the Police were really the first band that I got into very heavily, that Andy Summers created some really, really neat landscapes, you know, sonic mm-hmm. landscapes on his guitar.
Yep.
That didn't involve that sort of metal type sound. So
yeah, well, there was a musicality of the Police, and especially coming out from where they were. I mean, Sting came out of the jazz field. You know, they all had these different influences. So it was pretty cool to see all that pull together.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah, especially, and they grew out of a sort of an underground scene in Britain, right?
So yep.
Even though they became mainstream, you know, on in a big way, a lot of their influences, I think, were sort of the British underground scene.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, were there any Christian musicians that were catching your attention at that point in time as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. More on a singer-songwriter type of level. Mark Hurd was a big influence on me. I had a good friend, actually my co-writer Jeff Bershey, he and I wrote and played together for years and still do. We were all listening to Randy Stonehill and Larry Norman at that point in time. But Mark Hurd ended up being sort of the guy that we really gravitated towards lyrically and musically.
Mm-hmm.
The way he wrote, he had such an intelligence to his writing that Jeff and I both really, really loved to listen to him. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sort of that triumvirate of Stonehill, Norman, and Hurd that were key in that early contemporary Christian music, the Christian rock breakout at that point in time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, when you're getting to all of this and you started looking at where you were going career-wise and stuff like that, what led you to taking it from you know, just playing in that to that point where you're sort of pursuing music at least part-time as a career?
This would be probably around 85 or 86. With a couple of years of learning the instrument under my belt, my same friend Jeff, he and a few of our friends from youth group, this is at People's Church, we all grew up at People's in Toronto, they were starting a band, and then somewhere around, they sort of had played around the scene a little bit in Toronto. There was sort of a circuit in the church world back then, Bendale Bible Chapel, Walmer Road, I think, was another one.
Yep.
For bands like Daniel Band and Amy Band, I think it was called. They were sort of playing in the Toronto scene, and so the band that Jeff had formulated with our youth group friends, they, at a certain point, their guitar player quit, and then I kind of entered the scene. And my stylings were slightly different, so that band at that point became we called ourselves Greytown, and then that we were busy playing around Toronto at that point, entering into the late 80s, and then we managed to have one pivotal year where we won Q107 Homegrown, third place, and we had a video on Much Music. We got a Factor grant and Breakfast Television. So we all kind of had gotten into that little pocket right in your early 20s.
Yep.
And then we all got married. And so the band, we kind of made a decision as a band to sort of break things up. But so all through the 90s, I just kept playing. I just kept playing and writing, and then I got heavily involved in my church here in Milton as a worship leader. And then in the late 90s, formulated a group called the Great Wooden Trio that involved storytelling as well. And we've stayed extremely busy for 15 years. So it kind of became one of those things for me where in the early 90s, when I realized that it probably wasn't going to take off into something full-time, I decided, well, there's no reason why I can't continue to do this part-time and just seek out music and, you know, kind of just see where it takes me. So that's where I've gotten to this point in time.
Great. Well, what I want to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with musician Kev Morse. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Trust of a Child by tonight's guest, Kev Morse. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Kev. So when did you start writing your own songs then? Was that back in the 80s? And, you know, what sort of led to you actually starting to write your own stuff?
Yeah, back in the 80s with Greytown, it was more of a collaborative effort. The band would all sort of throw in their two bits. The core, though, I would say, was myself and our lead singer Jeff. He was the lyricist, and I would basically create. he'd come to me with a skeletal, you know, version of a song, and then I'd flesh out the details with chord progressions and some of the more intricate musical components of it. So back then, I kind of got my first taste of going, thinking to myself, again, there's actually something here that I didn't think I possessed. And then as I got involved with my church as a worship leader, I started revamping old hymns and bringing them into a more contemporary type of styling. And then with the Great Wooden Trio, then it became really a collaborative effort between Jeff and I to write songs. And all the while, all through the 90s and into the 2000s, I had slowly been cataloging a body of my own solo work, which periodically I'd take out and we'd play them with a Great Wooden at a Great Wooden Trio show. But it really came to the fore probably, you know, in early 2000s, I'd say. So the last dozen years is when I really brought my own songwriting up to the level that it is today.
Well, you mentioned Mark Hurd as an influence. Who else has been an influence in terms of the songwriting aspect for you?
Well, recently I've tapped into some artists like Luc Doucette. He was formerly a guitar player for Sarah McLachlan. Sorry, and his guitar playing is something that I've really gravitated towards. And the last few years, we met him at Mariposa. We played at Mariposa Folk Festival 3 years ago. So he's been a recent influence of mine. In terms of lyrics, I don't know if there's any one particular artist that I've drawn from in that area, because a lot of my lyrics tend to be they're kind of personal.
Mm-hmm.
They've been, and I'm sure there's quite a few artists that have influenced me, but I can't really point to anyone in particular.
Right.
Music tends to be something that I feel more influenced by other artists.
And who have been some of those?
So Luc Doucette, kind of again recently, loved the whole thing that Mumford and Sons are doing.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of Celtic vein. And then going back a bit further, probably, actually this is really quite a broad landscape, I suppose. Like, I'm really into Radiohead. Love some of their sounds that they create. Again, sort of a textured landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, more recently, like, yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm all over the map this way. Foo Fighters, I've been really into their sort of straight up rock sound.
Right.
And so there would be tunes that I write that have sort of a rock bent to them. But then bands like Radiohead, they also like sing, how you alluded to, sing jazz leaning. I think a guitarist from Radiohead, Johnny Greenwood, he's definitely got jazz influences. And I've got quite a few tunes that definitely have a jazz bent to them. But they tend to be mixtures. Like, they tend to be hybrids. Like, I'll throw in a few jazz chords in a song that it wouldn't otherwise make sense in.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow it seems to work out.
When you're looking at your own songwriting and that, are you a melody first person, a lyrics first person, or does it just depend on the particular song? What comes to you first as a songwriter?
I think I'd have to say, because I was an instrumentalist first, the melody tends to come first. I'll have a lyrical idea. I'll have a bit of a theme that I want to write about. And then the meter of the lyric tends to follow what I've created musically. I find that's most of the time the way it works out. Mm-hmm. There'll be the odd time where I'll have, 80% of a song written lyrically, and I'll sort of, on the back burner, I'll have a bunch of bits and pieces of music that I've been trying to put together, and then the lyric will help that to coalesce.
Right.
Yeah. But
so what do you find the most challenging part of songwriting?
I'd say you want your music to kind of, I mean, by default, it will sound like you because you're writing it and you're performing it. And, you know, your voice and the instrument that you play has a lot to do with that. But you don't want... I think it's important for musicians to have a large enough palette to draw upon where your music doesn't sound exactly the same every time. You want people to go, oh, here comes the tune, and yeah, already you're only, you know, into the intro and I can tell who the artist is.
Right.
Like, that's okay. But if the song itself is too much like the other songs that you've created over, you know, whatever length of time, I think that it becomes a little bit boring for the listener. So that's the biggest challenge, is to come up with enough interest within your body of work where people go, oh, wow, that was different than what you had done before.
Right, right. And you see that in some of the songwriters that are out there. I mean, you listen to Bruce Cockburn, you know, he'll have a whole variety of styles that he uses and you know, influences that he calls upon. So yeah, you have to often wait till you hear the voice come in before you say, oh, that's who that particular song is by.
Yeah, exactly. Colburn's a great example of that. I think he's really got a broad broad palette that way. Yeah. Actually, you had mentioned, sorry, some other artists do come to mind, if you don't mind.
Yep.
Yeah, like in the singer-songwriter genre, I've been really fortunate because of my background in church circles. I've some of the other artists that I've had the pleasure of playing alongside, like on the same stage, and kind of we've become, you know, friends over the years, are artists like Mike Jansen, incredible jazz pianist, and Jacob Moon. There's a guy in Winnipeg, Don Amaro. He's a singer-songwriter out there. Steve Bell was a big influence on me. Glenn Soderholm, he's a local guy that I'm good friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about all of those guys is I tend to play more acoustic than anything else. And acoustic stylings, definitely I've had influences from those guys. And there's one obscure fingerstyle player that I just fell in love with ages ago. His name's Doyle Dykes. He's a Nashville guy. And I would have to say a lot of my fingerstyle playing has been influenced by guys like him and Jacob Moon. Jacob Moon's an incredible musician. So on the fingerstyle side of things, like that song, Trust of a Child, that you had mentioned, that's where I get a lot of that.
Okay. Well, what we need to do is take one final break, and then we'll come back and wrap up our conversation with singer-songwriter Kev Morse. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. You've been listening to Happy Ever After by Kev Morse. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up tonight's conversation with Kev. Looking at where things are going in that, you got to, and you mentioned about doing some solo stuff. You got some solo gigs coming up, a few concerts and that. What can you tell us about them?
April's fairly busy. I have a show in a small town called Claremont, which is just north of the 407 out in the East End. There's a fellow out there who has started it's a Christian sort of venue that he's created called the Artist Garden, and I'm out there with my friend Brad Woods, a storyteller, doing an evening of story and song.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the dates there? I don't have them in front of me.
Well, actually, what we can do is we can give people, if you've got a link or something that people can go to, and they can get all that information.
Yeah, MySpace is the best place to check that out. Classic MySpace.
Okay.
Yeah. But if people go there, they should search Kev Morris, not Kevin.
Yep.
Tons of Kevins, but only two Kevs.
Great.
So April, yeah, and then I have another show down at the Transact Room, which is down at Brunswick and Bloor, in the front room there. That's the solo gig. And I'm doing a fundraiser with the Great Wooden Trio at the Guelph Youth Music Center. It's an African fundraiser that some friends have put together. And finally, there's a dance company here in Milton that has asked me to come and play live in the middle of the dance performance for the production is called Nutcase.
Great.
Elizabeth Kamek is the choreographer of that.
So great.
It's kind of exciting because I'm fortunate in the sense that I get to play a variety of different venues and performances.
Cool. Well, and the best place is for people to go to MySpace and search out Kev Morse.
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Well, Kev, thanks for your time tonight.
My pleasure. I appreciate talking to you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Kev Morris, and be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.